that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then Jesus said, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Without looking at them, or without Googling it, can anybody name the faces that are on all of our bills of U.S. currency? I see some thinking. Yeah. See some name. Hamilton, right? Lincoln, Grant. I don't hear anybody who's got them all. What? All right, well, if this helps, right, if your brain is already hurting, I had to look it up. Who's on the $1? Washington. Who's on the $2? Jefferson. Who's on the $5? Lincoln. Who's on the $10? Hamilton. Who's on the $20? Jackson. Who's on the $50? Grant. And who's on the $100? Franklin. All right, collectively we got that, right? Now, I had to Google it because I didn't know it, and I definitely don't have access to all of those bills in my wallet to double check. And I did have a very specific bizarre dream last night that I was shifting the bills in my wallet, and there was a $3 bill and a $7 bill. So I think there's a little stress about thinking about bills or currency and talking about this topic with y'all this morning. But these faces on our bills are men of significance to our U.S. history or the formation of what we call the United States. And if I'm really honest today, I might want to switch some of them out for some different folks, right? But that's for another day, right? That's a different sermon, maybe not even a sermon, but that's a different conversation. But for most of us, we don't remember who are all on those bills, and certainly not in order. We might have an idea of who the names are, but maybe not remember exactly who's got what bill. Here, I was thinking we had a $3 bill and a $7 bill, so you know that my brain is not paying attention to who's on the $100 bill. And whenever I travel internationally and I use currency from other countries, I know who those faces are even less than I know my own country's currency. I don't know the faces because often I use my credit card, right? I rarely use cash. Thanks, Alaska Airlines, right? I feel like I'm getting free things every time I spend money because it's all about the miles. Some of us don't even hold bills in our hands anymore. And for most of us, we don't think about who these faces are because, frankly, they don't really matter on a daily basis in our lives, right? We're not really, I don't know about you, but I don't typically wake up in the morning like, Andrew Jackson, what a fine gent, right? That's not generally how I start my day. Today's gospel gives us the famous line, give the emperor what is the emperor's and give to God what is God's. Now, Pharisees and Herodians don't typically work together, so this story is suspicious to begin with because you've got the disciples, the followers of the Pharisees, right, and the Herodians coming together, and they're trying to trick Jesus into denouncing God and faith, religion, or beliefs, which would upset the Pharisees, right, the rule keepers of the time, the religious authorities, or he would have to denounce the emperor, which would send him straight to punishment, jail, and perhaps even death. Maybe even getting his head cut off, right, Bevy? Now, Jesus answers them with a non-answer, an answer in his classic Jesus style. Jesus says, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. Now, thus, he efficiently avoids angering either the Pharisees or the Herodians, protecting him from death for a wee bit longer. Now, this expression appeased these two groups, but it's one that we in the modern United States and across the world continue to struggle a bit with. It seems as if Jesus just told us he's pro-taxes and also pro-God. But what becomes muddled is how we honor a civil leader, right? Like this emperor or president or a prime minister, kind of the civil government, and a divine leader at the same time. And where does civil rule begin, and where does it end, and where does divine rule begin, right? That's kind of the question that these folks are asking him. This is a difficult concept that I want to navigate delicately because it feels like we're almost always in a state of contentious politics these days. The news is flashing images of those who have been killed, harmed, imprisoned, or violated in Israel and Palestine, not just this month, but over the last century. We're still trying to make sense of what to do with our role as the United States in this larger international community, while still seeing the effects on our own kind of place, like our own country, of the inflation, of the housing market, of prejudice-motivated violence, and on and on and on. I'm exhausted trying to figure out how to navigate spaces with people, all sorts of people, to continue to learn from each other, and yet not get inundated with the loud yelling of whatever political point we're attempting to make. And perhaps that's what resonates with me the most about today's scripture. The Pharisees and the Herodians come together to ask Jesus, nay, to trick Jesus, to try to put him in a box and claim allegiance with one identity over the other, one label over the other, one world over the other, right? Their goal is to get him to say either this one is more important than that one or vice versa. And both of those would get him in trouble. They want him to choose either the emperor or God because they know they can get him in trouble. They can catch him with his words. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it over and over again. Jesus was highly political. This is a political conversation. But Jesus was not partisan, and that is a distinct difference. And if any political party claims that Jesus is theirs and theirs alone, then we're missing the point of his life, death, and resurrection. Because Jesus is bigger than a political party or one political concept. But Jesus reminds us that we are both citizens of a nation and beloved children of the divine. And while in our hands we may hold the faces of Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson, Benjamin Franklin, or Alaska Airlines credit cards, our bodies hold the imprint of God's claim over us. Now, I think of it like maybe a tattoo, right? Or even they have these blacklight tattoos where you don't see it at all, but it's written under your skin almost until a blacklight shines on it. And this is how I imagine God's imprint on my body, that God's handiwork is seen not in this sort of big showy way, but in a quiet way, in the way that my DNA winds together, and the unique ways in which our fingerprints coil around each pad of our finger. God's design is in the beauty of straight hair and curly hair and all of these different colors of skin and eyes, all of these different body shapes and heights. It's not an accident that God creates us as unique and holy creatures, separate from others, but similar to exist in the same world. So then, if we give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and that is the coin with his face on it, then what do we give to God? Each and every day, we wake up with both civil responsibility, right? Responsibility of being a person in a nation that we live, and also divine responsibility, where we choose how we're going to spend each minute of the day, how we'll spend each dollar in our accounts, and how we'll spend each skill or ability that we have. Now, if I'm honest, when I'm thinking about how do I spend who I am in the world, I spend a little bit more of my time with television than I care to admit. And I've probably spent a few more coins on fancy coffee than I should have this week. But I've also spent money supporting the next generation of students at my undergraduate university of Seton Hill when they called and asked for a donation. I spent some time on the phone with some friends who are dealing with some mental health crises. And with each day, we decide what we're going to do with what we have and our hands, what we're going to spend our coins on, both literally and proverbially. Now, if you've been around churches before, you might be getting antsy thinking, all right, here she comes with the ask, right? Pastors always ask for money, like, here we go. And, you know, the thing is like, yes, money does make things happen, right? Money is what pays for my salary, for my electric bill, for my groceries, Netflix, and fancy coffee. It also pays for us to have a building, to gather together, make a space available for others in this community to gather. It makes our small financial gifts bigger when we work together for the sake of our outreach partners like Love Inc. and the Food Bank and Leashore. But honestly, as your pastor, what I want you to spend your time, your talents, and your resources, I want you to do it in a way that reflects back your relationship with God. And that may be to Christ Lutheran, and it may not be, and that's okay. But how are you using the minutes of each day, the coins in your hand, and the abilities that you have to glorify what God has done in you? Are you doing things like financially investing in organizations, leaders, and communities that you care about? Are you volunteering your time to help friends by making meals or helping them because their kiddos are kind of all over the place? Are you using your knowledge to research and figure out things like the sound and technology that we have, or showing up to hang banners at church or help distribute food in our community? When Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's, it is an invitation to share what is stamped on with the emperor's face to the emperor and the coin, and what is stamped with God's face to God. And God has stamped on us. So that means inviting us to give our whole selves to who God is. Jesus invites us to take our beings, ourselves, right? That energy that we have, that life that we have, and spend it according to what and who we value. Each day is limited. I just saw a chart that showed like how much time you should anticipate spending with your parents as a child, and actually the chart goes down, and so they say spend it, you know, well in the early years. How much time you spend with a partner versus how much time you spend with friends, right? Each day is limited. We only have so many days and so many hours in a day. But we spend our time, right? We spend our energy, right? Which I don't know about you, but my energy seems pretty low these days. And we spend our money in ways that reflect back what we value. What does giving to God look like? What does it look like for you? What does it mean that you do with yourself? What does it mean that you don't do? Whose face comes to mind when you think about spending this currency that bears the mark of Christ for yourself and for our world? What does it look like? Thanks be to God. Amen.